Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Spring is here. And in the springtime, I think it's appropriate to think in terms of a couple of things. One is the weight you're going to lose. That's the weight that you promised yourself you were going to lose on the 1st of January, but because it's been too ridiculously cold and rainy, at least for our tastes here on the West Coast, we haven't done it yet. So, ladies, you're thinking about bikini season. Gentlemen, you had your goals, too. Not this week am I going to do the show on weight loss. I think we'll cover that next week. But there's a topic that I've meant to get to now for a full year and haven't, and we're going to tackle it today. And I promise you, you're going to think at times that this is from completely and totally left field, like some of my other shows. But I assure you, it is not. The things I'm going to say about what men need to keep in mind to keep and maintain their sexual power, their sexual prowess, that thing that's so important to our sense of manhood, I think we know relatively little about. And the perspectives we're being given regularly from Western medicine, I think, is a little short-sighted. This is an area we need to dig into and broaden our perspective, and so here we go. Also, this show is rated R. This is the most R-rated show I've ever done. If you were squeamish, if you were under the age of 18, if you're not okay about using words that are like part of male genitalia, then don't listen to this show because we're going to really get into it today. In a tasteful way, as always, but nonetheless, we're really going to go for it. So here we go. We'll start you slow. Number one, since the turn of the century, testosterone, that is male fertility, that is your ability to produce 200, 300, 400 million ejaculates, meaning little sperms per ejaculation, has gone down about 50%. Yeah, we could measure it at the turn of the century, and we can measure it today, and something's wrong. So we're going to go through a little checklist, stuff you might not think about. I'm going to start with number one, because this is the, I don't know how you term this. This is the most sensational, in a sense, to me. The car seat. I got into a $90,000 BMW the other day. No, it was a Mercedes. First thing is I got sick. I thought I had vertigo because how fast the guy was going. He could accelerate from like 40 to 180 miles an hour in some astronomically short period of time. I thought that made me dizzy. We were cruising then later on in the woods at 30 miles, 40 miles an hour, beautiful area up there in northern Ventura. And sure enough, I was still nauseous, and I realized it was the EMF, the radiation in the car. I got my Gauss meter out, and I measured it. It was off the charts, and I realized really I was in a spaceship. Modern cars today, especially the super expensive ones, put so much electronic gizmo in that car. It's like driving a jet. And now what do many people do? In the winter, they sit on the car seat. In the winter, they sit on the car seat and turn the heat on. And when you turn that heat on, the electrical radiation coming out of that is right on top of the testicle. And we do this regularly. We even do it in Los Angeles regularly right up till days like this. Now, that's one that snuck in, which brings us to the bigger issue. all of you in front of computers. How many people I see each week who are sitting in these rooms with thousands of computers. And the hard drives are right next to your legs. That's radiation right into the testes. Then there's people that sleep on either waterbeds or people who sleep on or with electric blankets or people who sleep with all sorts of electronic appliances near the car, near their bodies. People that sleep next to the computer, they watch TV on a computer and then they fall asleep and the computer's on. That's either radiating down low or, worse yet, it's radiating the head. Whether you're getting a lot of radiation to the head or radiation down low, again, testosterone production, now we have to remember, is part of that feedback cycle. When the hormone is low, a message goes up to the hypothalamus. An electrochemical message goes up to the hypothalamus. And the hypothalamus sends a message out to the pituitary. This is all in your head. And then the pituitary sends a message down into the testes to produce more testosterone. If you knock that out up high, because you're being radiated up high, you never get the message down low. So you can screw up the feedback cycle, whether you're getting radiation to the head. But let's stick focally on the testes. Yeah, that hard drive right next to the testes. The car seat with the heat on. Driving around in cars that are so electrically natured that you're going to hurt yourself that way. Now, here's another one. Tight underwear. You know, we went after the bra. And there are books on killer bras. There's actually a book called The Killer Bra. Because when we tighten the bra and under the armpit, we don't drain the lymph from the breast. That's no good for the breast. We do the same thing to the testicle. We pull the testes up close into the perineum and between the legs. And if you've gained weight, what are you really doing? Think about it, guys. When you put on that extra 20 or 30 or 40, you're crushing that area. And we'll get into that later. That's part of the structural issue. But tight underwear, pulling the testes, reminds me, amazing film. Go see it. The Chimpanzee, it's a Disney film. It is the best animal documentary I've seen in years. It's fantastic. The reason I thought of it is because I saw it last night, and the chimpanzee, the scrotal sac of the chimpanzee, you see it. It's swinging out in the wind all day long. It sits into the cool earth, the cool, green, verdant jungle. The testicle is not supposed to be squashed between two oversized legs up into the perineum, topped off by very tight Calvin Klein underwear. It doesn't work that way. If you raise the heat, if you raise the temperature in the testicle, you will kill the sperm. You will decrease the number of sperm per ejaculation. Or, and this is another one, the sperm will come out and the sperm will have a funny morphology. The head on the sperm, right? We all know this, right? From high school, the sperm is a head and a tail. The tail will be mal-shaped, or the head will be mal-shaped. Or, when you watch the sperm swim, it doesn't swim straight, right? Once the sperm gets in there, it's got to go up through the vaginal canal, up through the cervix, and drop, ideally, into the uterus, and drop and fuse right with that female egg. That's the way it's supposed to occur. But if your sperm doesn't see straight, if its morphology or motility are off, either the sperm can't penetrate the egg or the sperm gets lost on the way. And you see this. I've seen sperm in classes where you watch the sperm and instead of it swimming straight like a little fish, it swims around in circles. And you'll note the head of the sperm is a little funny. It's a little weird. This is why in fertility medicine, which is another topic I hope we can get to today, they wash the sperm. I'm not a proponent of it at all, and if we have time, we'll get into that later. But the idea, and this is the point, is to look at the 100 million, 200 million, 400 million sperm and take the best ones. Well, I'll tell you what you do. You make a lot of bad sperm when the temperature in the testes goes up. And I'm talking about a little bit. The temperature in the testicle only has to go up half a degree, and you've got a problem. We see this in varicoceles. A varicocele. A varicocele, usually on the left side, is a little hemorrhoid in the epididymis or the epididymal area. In the area just above the testes is an area that holds baby sperm called the epididymis. And in that epididial area, you have veins. And these veins drain the testes, right? All extremities and all body parts have a flow into them and a flow out of them. The venous flow or the venous drainage from that testes is called the pimpiniform plexus, the pimpiniform plexus. Special name for a venous drainage system. When that dilates, as it does, as a hemorrhoid will dilate, right? A hemorrhoid is a dilation of the veins in and around the anus. So this hemorrhoid, so to speak, just above the testes, called a varicocele. When men have that, they become semi-impotent. It's tougher to fertilize the egg from sperm produced by testes, because what the varicocele does is it increases the temperature of the testes. So we know this in pathology, that to increase the temperature of the testicle, as in a varicocele, creates fertility issues. In the same way, it's creating fertility issues because the clothing we wear is inappropriate, or the weight we put on the legs is squashing. Then we sit all day long. Now think about that. Think about people that live in more rural, I shouldn't say rural, primitive, not from lack of sophistication, but out in the wild. People who are much closer to the earth, where they wear loincloths and they don't tighten around there, where they're up moving all day long, moving, running, hunting, so on and so forth. You can see we evolved, whether it was on the farm or out in the pure wild, we've evolved with the testes to swing and get their own form of circulation. And that's not what we're doing today. We're sitting on them. We're radiating them. We're crushing them with underwear. Then we're not moving. Because we're not moving, we're gaining weight on top of crushing them. At least if we weren't moving but we were standing, it would be better. Instead, we don't move and we sit. What we do is, and this is the concept, we section off the testicle. We do that elsewhere. Where do we do it? We do it in the prostate. We section it off. Now remember from last week, and hopefully you heard the show last week, and if you didn't, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Tell your friends about this show. There is no show in America like this. There is nobody that is purely hitting it with pure education nonstop. No sales, no nothing. Just straight from my mouth to your ears. Nor can you get it out of books, because it's integrated from many, many, many books and 20 years of a lot of experience. You know, these stories I tell, I don't make them up. I never use names, and I always tell you it was 20 years ago, but many of these stories are current. So tell your friends about the show. Blab it. Do that work for me. It keeps costs down. You market the show for me. Thank you. Now, we radiate them. We crush them. We deprive them of oxygen because we don't move. We hide them from the cool earth. We don't even sit on the earth anymore. And then we wonder why the sperm counts are 50% less than they used to be. And that's just the beginning. Here's one from nature, and I love to go to nature because you can learn so much from nature. If you get a chance, and if you don't make a chance, go out and talk to farmers. Best conversation you can have is with a farmer or someone that's lived in the wild with animals, that observes animals. Well, right across from me where I am, there's this gorgeous horse farm. There must be $2-3 million worth of horse where I am. Male studs, race horses, the whole thing. And you talk to these guys that take care of the horses. Every now and then you hear a horse go ballistic. You ever hear a horse go ballistic? The sounds it makes? they're blood curdling. That is a lot of power in a male stud. A big male stud. A big Arabian. When it goes ballistic. Because it doesn't want to be tamed. It doesn't want to do what it's being told to do. And of course, in the aesthetics, in the literature, are stories of horse whisperers and how we contain and control and talk and calm and soothe a horse. Well, bottom line, one thing a trainer will know, one thing a horse person will know is when you're trying to teach a horse, if you ejaculate it, it will start to calm down. When a horse ejaculates, it shifts from this bellicose, rebellious, ballistic animal into something that'll just lay right down. It's a good way to persuade an angry horse to calm down. Now, I say this because in nature we observe this. And in people we observe this. We all understand ejaculation. So now I'm moving a little bit from testosterone production to the issues about ejaculation. Because the fundamental issue about ejaculation is how much is it healthy to ejaculate? So we're going to try to stay away from the social standpoints on this or religious standpoints as much as I can. But there is an issue with health and ejaculation. Now, that's not modern neurology talking. No, modern neurology, if you're 50 years old or 60 and you tell your urologist that you're ejaculating once a day, 5 or 6 times a week, he'll tell you, fantastic, just do it as much as you want for as long as it lasts. Wrong. I'm going to submit to you that that's wrong. I'm going to submit to you that there's a concept underneath this issue of how much you should ejaculate that ties in with science, the right kind of science, that ties in with folklore, that ties in with herbal medicine, that ties in with natural medicine. And these forebodings or warnings or wisdoms or axioms have come up from time to time and whittled their way into daily conversation, what we might call folklore, regarding how much should a male from the time he's 12 years old to the time he's 95 ejaculate. Number one, and where did I learn this? How did this happen to me to get on public radio, wonderful K-Bright station, and say to people that there's a way to understand the pros and cons of ejaculation? I learned it from my patients. I did. Because I've had patients, lots of patients, that tell me when they ejaculate, they get low back pain. When they ejaculate, their knees hurt. When they ejaculate, their body aches all over. When they ejaculate, they get irritable. When they ejaculate, they begin to sweat on their upper lip. When they ejaculate for 1 or 2 days after the ejaculation, they sweat inappropriately in their hands, in their lips. They even sweat inappropriately between the pubic bone and the belly button. So you're sitting there as a doctor. People are trusting you to understand their experience. And what are the allopaths telling them? Your medical doctors in urology are looking at them like they're nuts. That's even if the person tells their urologist. Because nobody wants to walk in at 50 years old and tell the MD, you know, by the way, when I ejaculate, my neck gets stiff. Or I notice that I'm irritable when it's supposed to relax somebody to ejaculate. So they don't even hear this stuff, and when they do, they don't know what to do with it. And so it circulates to the holistic community. That's where I've heard these things. So you start with your clinical experience. You don't start in books. You start with your clinical experience. And this is what I want to put out there to you today, because you have to understand that some of these things you're going to hear are from left field. I'm about to talk about ejaculation on levels you haven't heard before, at least most of you. But But if you consider that it's not from the books to you, it's from you to the books, then you really understand the power of a system of medicine, of a medical perspective that's rooted in the experience of people. And this is why no one can argue this. This is where science needs to learn something. Too much what we call science is running around and saying, unless we understand it in the lab, in the test tube, with our double-blind blah, blah, blah studies, unless we understand it that way, you can't say it's your experience. That's truly insanity. If there is anything today more detrimental to our future, it's science being arrogant enough to tell you that your experience didn't happen. When did we buy on to that? When did we sign on to being told that our common sense did not count? And this is a classic example, as you'll see. So, we talked about testosterone and how we're making 50% less of it. We talked about sperm counts and how we're making much less sperm. Really, that's what I meant, not testosterone. We talked about some of the reasons. Then we moved to ejaculation. And we're considering that what we know from nature, which is that ejaculation creates a calmness in an animal, but that in clinical experience, ejaculation causes lots of bad symptoms for lots of people. Male menopause. That's when a man goes through his change. His erections aren't as firm. He doesn't hold his sperm as long. His ejaculations are weaker. There's less sperm that comes out of his body. And this is when you'll start to hear men, from the age of 30 on, I've heard this, talk about the pain in their body after they ejaculate. What is that? What is that telling us? Well, one thing it's telling us is that when we produce sperm, 200 to 400 million ejaculates, we put an enormous physiological stress on the body. We say, and I don't know if this is to be understood literally, but we say per ejaculation, we have to produce 1 quart of blood. We have to produce enough vitality in our chemical body to produce 1 quart of blood after we have an ejaculation. Now, whether that's literally the translation or not is not the point. The point is the stress to the body per ejaculation is tremendous, which is what's fascinating, isn't it? I was at UCLA the other day, and there was some 20-year-old kid out in the football field, and he got hit. And I saw this kid's body fly up in the air and crash to the ground on the grass. And then I saw him bounce up and just jog away. Amazing. Amazing what you can do when you're 20 and you're healthy. Amazing what we've done. Amazing to think that most of us, when we were 20, had an erection all day long. We could ejaculate 3, 4, 5 times a day and not even think about it. You hear these things from people. Your average teenager has that type of energy, and yet you talk to most people after the age of 60, or lots of people after the age of 50, or some people after the age of 40, and occasionally people after the age of 30, and it's not happening that way. And that suggests that what's behind, or what we call ejaculation, is really produced, okay, by this enormous symphony of energy that the body has to consolidate to produce 200 to 400 million sperm per ejaculate. We might say that ejaculation really represents our reserve energy outside of what is put aside for procreation. The pleasure part of it, ejaculation for pleasure. Perhaps there's a perspective that says that aspect of our function, or what the body allocates as far as the energy that can be appropriately utilized for pleasure during ejaculation, is really not the high priority in the body. That really ejaculation and 200 million to 400 million sperm per ejaculation is the cream of the crop. So that really then, it's very easy to dip into your reserve energy. Suppose I said to you that people that ejaculate too much will lose bone. They will increase the rate at which they lose bone. Suppose I said to you that over an 80-year span in a man's life, if he cut his number of ejaculations in half, he'd have way more health when he was 80 years old. Suppose I started to put a correlation between the number of ejaculations and the number of years you would have on this planet. Wow. Now we're cooking. But now I guess we're really coming from left field. Except you have to really explain that in the arc of people as patients, you will hear consistently that as men age, there are more sorts of negative feelings around ejaculation. And if you don't hear that, I assure you it's because you don't dig. And if you don't read that, I assure you it's because you don't really read. Point being, if you trust the present allopathic model, it's just keep going until it doesn't work. And if you make it to 70, you did good. That isn't reality. It doesn't work that way. This is another perspective I'm giving you that will eventually be our reality. We'll just develop technologies to understand the energetic drain, to understand that the biophysics of the body is very deeply related to the word orgasm. And as we deplete the biophysical or the electrical field through orgasm, we stress the body's chemical system. And as we stress the chemical system, the body has to dip into its biochemical reserve. And one of those reserve systems, other than the hormonal system, is bone. That's amazing. That's very amazing, isn't it? Loads of zinc. A ton of zinc. Organic zinc. So don't go out and get your zinc tablets. Eat foods with zinc. Vitamin C. Protein. That's for openers. Okay. A distinction here. Since we're talking about ejaculation, we're talking about the amount of ejaculation that's healthy and not healthy. Let's come to maybe an agreement. However much you're ejaculating, if the way you feel after ejaculation is anything more than pleasantly relaxed, euphoric, if you don't quite feel that after you ejaculate, you can go out and play that game of tennis or run that 3 or 4 miles, you're doing it too much. I'm going to go on record and say that to you. If you've got the ability to listen to your body, and isn't that what all this is about anyway? If you're sensitive enough and attuned enough to your nervous system, to the way your body feels, and when you ejaculate, you notice that your golf game or your tennis game or that jog isn't quite what it's supposed to be, you're doing it too much. And maybe some of you are not that sensitive, but the athletes are. For the rest of you, perhaps, you need the grosser, more material hit. If you feel extra fatigued, it's too much. If you sweat above the pubic bone, if your knee hurts, if your back hurts, if your head hurts, if there's any negative aftermath for 2 days to ejaculation, or do this sometime, ejaculate more than normal. In a weekend, if you're over 50, try ejaculating 3 or 4 times in a weekend and test yourself. Experiment with your body. Stress your body to sensitize yourself to it. And then go back to the amount of times per week that will allow you to feel euphoric, pleasantly relaxed, but in no way deficient. That's the key here, to attune yourself, to sensitize yourself to deficiency. And yes, women have an advantage here if that hasn't occurred to you. We say women age because they lose blood. Men age because they lose sperm. Put that one into yourself. You didn't hear that in medical school, but there's truth there. Men age because they lose sperm, and women age because they lose blood. If a woman's bleeding 6 to 7 to 8 days after those kids, my job is to bring that period down to 2 to 3 days, 2 to 3 days, light bleeding. If you do that and you see the health of the woman change, you'll start to draw interesting correlations between the amount of blood loss and the way her body feels. And these correlations are well studied. It's the same thing with men. If you reduce their ejaculations, they feel stronger. Once you've got that down, you've got it licked. You know who understands this? Boxers. Athletes. A good trainer will tell his athlete, ejaculate to relax, but the minute you feel your legs a little weaker, you're doing it too much. That balance between the two is key. Now, what kind of ejaculation are we talking about? Are we talking about masturbation, or are we talking about sexual intercourse? We're going to cover masturbation for a moment. You're going to see that maybe some of the old wisdoms were not just pure folklore. That maybe some of those warnings about don't masturbate, don't self-pleasure, or something bad will happen. Maybe there was some bearing in clinical experience, perhaps even science. So what I want to talk about then is masturbation. I want to talk about your ear. That's right, what you hear out of your ear. And I want to remind you that all of you will agree that the ear is basically a hologram of the body. It's a homunculus. In other words, we all know from ear reflexology, something I think most people buy into, at least in the holistic community they buy into it, much literature about it, lots of places that will put little needles into the ear or press points in the ear, or how about the feet, or how about the hands? The hands, the feet, and the ear have been understood for many, many, many years as just replicas of the entire body. Points in the feet reflects to points in the organ systems. Points in the hands do the same thing. Points in the ears do the same thing. Well, guess what? This is where you have to fasten your seatbelt. Points in the penis reflects to the organs. It stands to reason. But that's not good enough. You see, this has been studied. The Germans studied these things. I'm going to give you a name. His name was Reinhard Voll. V as in Vincent, O-L-L, Reinhard Voll. He was a medical doctor in Germany in the 20s and the 30s, the 40s. And Dr. Voll, he was also an engineer. Dr. Voll, brilliant that he was, tried to translate this notion that the body had energy lines into harder science. And he did. And he matched his studies with his clinical experience. And thus, if there's any place in the world where holistic medicine has hit science, hard science, what some might make the mistake of thinking is MD science, but that level of credential has studied what we call holistic medicine more rigorously in Germany than anywhere in the world. And it's the same today. And what Voll, one of the founders of German holistic medicine, found is that these energy lines go to the extremities. And one extremity is the penis. And what that means is in the act of masturbation, the top part, the top one-third to one-half of the penis is generally stroked. And when it is, the organs that the one top one-third represent get overly stimulated. And that is not good. And those organs are the heart and the lungs and the liver. So the top half of the penis is heart and liver. And heart and liver, when they're stimulated too much from masturbation or excessive masturbation, but what does that mean? That's a judgment call, depending upon who you are and what you think, what you believe. We're not going to get into that, but the point is this. We have good science behind the statement that the penis can be divided up into its own lines that reflex to organs. And the top half of it is heart and liver. And when it's stimulated at the expense of the base of the penis, which is kidney and adrenal, to be understood as your reserve meridian or your reserve energy line, when we're not stimulating the bottom half, as we do not in masturbation, just the top half, we imbalance the body. We hurt the body. And when we ejaculate from masturbation, it's very different than the ejaculation that occurs when a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, are making love. Those are two very different ejaculations, and they're produced two very, very different ways. So as far as a perspective in energetic medicine, in bioenergetics, a biophysical perspective on ejaculation through masturbation would be to imply that you're imbalancing the body's organ systems when you ejaculate from masturbation. And that's the point. And if you study this, you'll see there's a great deal of validity to it. If you even study this clinically, you'll see there's a great deal of validity to this. If you even talk to your friends, you'll see there is a great deal of validity to this. All we have to do is look at it and trust our instincts. You see, medicine really is within you. Medicine is not within the walls of a hospital. It's within you. It's within your sense of bodily intelligence. And this show is about getting your sense of bodily intelligence working with more refinement. Because we are numb. We are a society of technocrats, bureaucrats. And that's what we have to stop. Because if we continue to make choices that are more away from the intelligence of the body and more from the intelligence of the intellect, we're going to mess ourselves up beyond the word mess ourselves up. Holistic medicine didn't come out of the head. It came out of the experience of working with people and then applying what science could understand, etc., into the experience, not the other way around. You see, this is where the engineers, the guys that have to make things work in the real world, are always complaining about the physicists and the architects. Those guys sit up in the labs or sit in their armchairs. It's the engineers and the construction guys that have to make it work. In the end, does it work or does it not work? In the end, you can tell me that what I'm saying to you is absolute nonsense. And yet I promise you, I guarantee you, that a fairly significant percentage of the audience listening today will clap. They will applaud because it will hit them in their experience. And what are we to do? What are we to do, the skeptical ones? Are you arrogant enough to tell good, intelligent people that their experience is not happening? To me, this is the ultimate hypocrisy. It's one thing when you cannot assemble a crowd of level-headed people and talk to them about their experience. It's one thing when you can't produce that, but when you can consistently about so many things that sound like they're from left field, and that's to be discarded. Ladies, does this sound familiar when you're told it's all in your head? You're just a crazy woman. You're not rational. Do you know, guys, back in the 60s, TMJ, temporal mandibular syndrome. TMJ, temporal mandibular joint syndrome. Do you know if a woman clenched her teeth because she had to take too much verbal abuse from her husband and got headaches? If she walked into a doctor's office and talked about her headaches, the doctors would tell her consistently that it was just in her mind. We were cutting out clitorises in the 1870s, Physician and Sexuality in Victorian America, J. Haller and Haller. Get the book and read it. This is American history. All the way up into the 1960s, we're telling women who are clenching their teeth because they're internalizing their emotions, because they're trying to do too much, buying into too much Kool-Aid, and they're internalizing and they're eating crap. Excuse me if I'm not supposed to use that word. They're just listening to too much nonsense, and their bodies are getting sick from internalizing. And doctors are telling them it's all in their head. And this is this imposition that science consistently makes. It tells you that your very real experience is not real. So, take some of these concepts to your experience. Note what happens when you ejaculate too much. Whatever that means. You won't feel as good. There's some point at which you're stressing your body. Once you make that connection between ejaculation, loss of sperm, and the way you feel, you've got it. Once you make the connection between masturbation and the way that feels different in your body from lovemaking to your wife. Once you make those connections, no one has the right to take those connections away. My job is to validate what you already know. And yes, the penis is a hologram. Just like the ear, just like the hands, just like your feet. Then there's fit. It's something we call fit. Put this to your experience, the fit between the penis and the vagina. In nature, right, we don't mate a St. Bernard with a Chihuahua. And we laugh at that and we say, well, that's obvious. That's absurd. There's a structural issue there. But if you think about your life, you've all had the experience where the fit is very good or the fit is very bad, where the fit works and the fit does not work. When the fit works, when the rhythmicity works in the act of making love, the ejaculation is different. And the body will feel very differently upon ejaculation. And in the aftermath of ejaculation, it will feel very different. And when the fit is very bad, you're going to feel different in your body. This is distinct from your psyche. This is distinct from all sorts of psycho-emotional aspects to the act of making love or the attempt to make love. Listen to your body. Once again, you will bear truth to the statement that the fit is important. Why? What's happening when the fit is good? When the fit between a man and a woman really works, the penis and the vagina, the electrical fields that represent the organ systems running through both those areas are better fertilized. They are electrically recharged in the act. And especially with the male, much less prone to falling into deficiency. So think of that. Think of lovemaking. Think of when the love is pure. Think of when the fit is good. Think of when the rhythmicity is there. Think of when everything is there that's supposed to be there and the way the ejaculation feels in your body later. And God bless you if you're having that today, because that's how God intended it. You see, you're supposed to find God through lovemaking with your wife. That's the way it was designed. Now compare that to masturbation. So you have a case here. A case that can be decided mostly by you in your experience. But this is very important to talk about. Why? Why do I say that? Because when so many of us rebelled against the wisdom we were given, and this is the children of the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and we ejaculated in far greater frequencies, masturbation and otherwise, we depleted our bodies. Yes, we did. And we still do. And we don't understand what we're doing, and we're not listening to our bodies. And we're not understanding lovemaking then, nor are we understanding masturbation. Important stuff. Now let's talk about the sacral pump. The sacral pump. Talked about that last week as it relates to the prostate. The sacral pump is part of what allows the fifth lumbar vertebra and the sacrum to massage the lower part of the body. And if the sacral pump is working, and the psoas muscle is flexible, and the quadriceps are flexible, and the spine is flexible, and the neck muscles are flexible, and the bite is symmetrical, the ejaculation is a celebration all the way up the spine. The neurological contribution, the neurological part of the ejaculation, is a full body experience. And I will always, always, always ask the women to rescue us. Because the women are the ones that get it. Because they're allowed to move away from their minds. A woman feels, a man understands. And ladies know the difference between an orgasm that is in the genital and one that goes all the way up the body. Well, in male language, that body has to be accommodating a bodily experience. That sacral pump has to work. So if your fifth lumbar vertebra is fused to your sacrum and you're not flexible and you're rigid down low, the ejaculation is going to be purely through the genital. It's not going to move or be assisted by the flexibility all the way up to the hypothalamic pituitary axis of your brain. Lovemaking translated into a healthy body. A psycho-emotionally, physiologically healthy, flexible body produces a euphoria throughout the whole being. This is very different than a genital experience. So you got to understand that going into male vigor, sexual health, is this concept of a coherent sacral pump. Check my show last week for a deeper definition of it. Now, what we've got running around all these issues about sexual vigor, sexual satisfaction, is point and shoot. Point and shoot. Gee, there's never enough time. This is straighttalk.cc. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Call Clem Alita, 310-320-1132. Come to my school. If you listen to this show and you don't come to my school, I really don't know what to say to you. I don't. How do you expect to do this? It's only once every 5 weeks. It's 8 hours. If you come 5 times, I've got all sorts of deals for you. It's fun. You get to talk to other people. You get to find out you're not alone in your own private agony or anguish with whatever you're dealing with. That's the way to do medicine, you see? Not 90 minutes, 5 times a year across a desk talking to a guy in a suit or a white garb. It's not working. What gets in the way today of male sexual vigor? hyperglycemia, high insulin. High insulin means low testosterone. High insulin means low testosterone. High insulin doesn't mean you're diabetic. It just means there's too much sugar in the blood all the time. And once that happens, the autonomic nervous system is backwards and upside down. So point and shoot is the axiom in medical school. You need the parasympathetic nervous system to get an erection because the parasympathetics vasodilate the blood vessels to allow for the erection. And the sympathetic nervous system is what creates the shoot or the ejaculation. Point, as in parasympathetic, vasodilates blood vessels, right? When you relax, your blood vessels dilate so you can digest food and so you can lower your blood pressure and so you can have blood fill the penis and you can have an erection. And if you're nervous and you're uptight and you're sympathetic dominant, what does that mean? So stressed out you can't get an erection. And then there's ejaculation, shooting. Sympathetic nervous system controls this. When the sympathetic nervous system is dominant, you're going to ejaculate too quickly. So much of erectile dysfunction and premature ejaculation is related to the body's nervous system. And we can play around with all sorts of things like Viagra, so on and so forth. But the bottom line is there are usually more fundamental organic reasons behind this, way beyond the genes. Yes, we can do much for you. We've got tons of sex clinics that will. But are they looking into the balance between the autonomic nerves? So if you're sympathetic dominant, it's going to be an issue. If you're ejaculating prematurely, just like a person that gets irritable. I want you to make that analogy. Someone gets irritable too quickly is sympathetic dominant. They shoot too quick with their temper. That's what the penis will do. And the parasympathetic nervous system, that has to allow it to occur by dilation. So autonomic imbalance is the first one. Corollary to that is high sugar in the blood. A carb diet will keep your testosterone low. A carb diet will interfere with your autonomic balance. Then there's plaque in the arteries. 10 or 15% plaque. But that's okay. That's normal. That's not going to get picked up. When the iliac arteries and the arteries to the penis start to fill with plaque, you get less blood. When they lose their elasticity, you get less blood. But we don't measure that. We say late-stage diabetes will cause plaque, and lots of plaque will impede the blood flow to the penis. Yeah, when you're 90% occluded. How about when you're 10% occluded? Well, that's normal. How about when you're 20% occluded in the blood flow to the penis? Is that normal? Well, yes, it's normal. Well, why is it normal? Well, it's normal because all men over 50 have that. Did you just listen to what I said? It's normal to have one-fifth of the blood supply to the penis taken away because of plaque. And it's normal because everybody else does that. Well, then I guess it's normal for people to walk to the edge of a cliff and jump 1,000 feet into the river because everybody does it. It's normal for everybody to drink the Kool-Aid because everybody does it. This is where we're not thinking. When did we sign on to stop thinking? It's not normal to be 10% occluded in the arteries. It's not normal to be 15% occluded. High sugar in the blood from carb diets does this. Just high insulin will make sure your testosterone is reduced. How about sleep? No sleep, no adrenaline, no cortisol. A lot of your testosterone comes from your adrenal glands. Check the show on adrenals. More guys are looking for the problem in the testes. More urologists and sex counselors are looking for problems in the testes when it's in the adrenals. And what about if your bite is bad? Wow. doctor, do you mean to tell me that my imbalance in the bite could be the reason I don't get erections, or I ejaculate prematurely, or my sperm count is very low? The mouth, the bite, and what's going on in my penis? Yeah. You see the benefits of this show? We've done 50 shows now, 50. You start putting it together, you start to see how medicine really works. Do you want to just relegate this discussion to what herbs I should take for my erections? I can tell you that. You can go online and find out. And you know where to get the best herbs. But for those of you who have done the herbs, and if I have time, I'm going to give you a little herbal program. If you've done it and it hasn't cut it, as always, there are more fundamental reasons. So let's take your average male at 60. Let's paint a picture. He's about 20, 30, 40 pounds overweight. He doesn't stretch. So he's got fat between his legs. He's wearing tighter underwear. He doesn't want to wear grandpa underwear because nobody at 60 wants to be a grandpa anymore. Not in that stereotypical sense where you sit on a rocking chair and smoke a corncob pipe. So we got tight underwear, more fat between the legs, and we sit a lot more, sit in front of computers, and don't stretch because only girls stretch. And then we wonder where our erections go. We're so stressed out, we don't remember what it's like to relax from the time we're 15 years and up. So we're sympathetic dominant, so we ejaculate prematurely. Then even if we had enough blood, which we don't because we don't eat right or we don't digest right, we can't get that blood to the penis because the arteries are crushed or they're plaqued up. On top of which, any concept of a full body... Did I get cut off? I'm going to keep talking. There's just so much to say. Hate to leave you guys hanging. Maybe next week we'll continue.
Through his website,
ciao, ciao.
He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part, you can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.